Let's worship the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be in the presence of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to know where our strength comes from, to know that God is in control. I am so happy to be in God's house tonight. I want to give honor to our bishop. God bless him. I love him very much. Honor to our pastor. It is obvious that fruit does not fall far from the tree. We're very blessed to have these men in our life, and I am so thankful to be a part of this church. Tonight, if you would, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading a couple verses here. God spoke to me. I don't say that very often because, you know, you can read the scripture and the scripture can talk to you. And I had been preparing for tonight, and last night I just felt a heaviness in my spirit. And didn't really know what was going on. And in just a moment, God turned everything around. And I feel like, I don't know who it is that needs this tonight. It may just be me. But God has given me something for somebody in this house tonight. Be willing to accept it, because God can change your life in a moment. When you least expect it, God can change your life. First Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's all pray together. May be seated. I know everybody looks for a title. Really couldn't come up with one. But I want to start with this well-known phrase. Never give up. Never give up. Anybody felt like giving up lately? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. You know it. We've all been there one time or another. We felt like throwing in. Is it worth it? Am I wasting my time? Let me assure you, you are not wasting your time. Time spent with the Lord is time well spent. You could not spend your time in a better place. To enter into the presence of the Lord. I know what happened to a man's staff that laid before the Lord one night. And one night that staff bore fruit. And one night. In the presence of the Lord. God wants to do great things in this church. He's already done mighty, mighty things. But I will tell you what, He wants us to understand that He wants us to seek after Him. He wants us to find Him. He's not hard to find. He can be found if you look for Him. I've found that if I've lost something and I start looking, that's what I'm going to find. I'm going to find that thing I've been looking for. I don't know what etiquette is for reading, but there is a story that I want to share with you tonight. Brother Alan Oggs is a minister that has traveled around our country, and he's even been here. It's been several years ago, but he has ministered in an amazing way, and I want to read just a portion out of one of his books. it starts like this. After accepting a pastorate, my wife and I were visiting among our new flock and getting acquainted with them. Our visits were not long, just touched down to say hello, nice to be here with you folks, and then we would take off to circle around and land again. In the process, we arrived at a small 8-foot-wide trailer home with 2 bedrooms and a large family. We tapped on the door and the lady of the house opened it. Would you like to come in? After we visited for a short time, I gave my wife the signal and we started for a short time. It's bad when you lose your place when you're reading. And we gave her the signal and we started for the door. We got halfway across the room, which in that size of trailer was about 2 good strides. When the woman said to me, "Pastor, do you know where you are?" Good question. Her quick probe caught me a little off guard. I responded, "I think so." "No, you don't." "I think I do. I'm visiting in the home of a very fine couple." She said, "You don't know where you are. If you have 5 minutes, I'll tell you where you are." I thought, this is get acquainted time, and this sounds like one person I had better get acquainted with. I said, "All right, we have time." She said, "Only a few years ago, I had never, ever attended a Pentecostal church. And my whole life I had visited a Baptist church a time or two, but my family was not a church-going bunch. In fact, I was raised in a family that you might call a tobacco culture. Everything that had breath in my entire family used tobacco. Before we began school, we chewed it, sucked it, smoked it, or played with it. Everybody in my family, as far back as I can remember, has ingested tobacco in some fashion. When on the job one day, I heard about a revival meeting. One night I visited for the first time an old-fashioned revival. I walked in knowing nothing, not ever having been taught much about God. I stayed there from 7:30 till 9:30. And by that time I left, my hair was wet because I had been baptized in Jesus' name. And that same night, God filled me with the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. I was so excited and so happy. I went home and told my husband what happened. I was so talkative and wanted to share everything with him. Finally, he said, "This is my house, and that's my refrigerator, and that's my beer. Don't touch it. Don't fool with my beer." We finally went to bed. I was still talking, and he fell asleep. I finally talked myself into exhaustion and drifted off into a restful sleep. The next morning when I woke up, I did everything subconsciously the same way I had done for almost every day of my life. I woke up, opened my eyes a peep or two, and began fumbling around for my cigarettes. Before I could put my feet on the floor, I had found my pack, located my light, and was sitting on the edge of my bed with a cigarette in my hand, and something spoke to me and said, "No, no, don't do that." I don't know where it was coming from. "I want you to know that you're not just in our home. When you were standing in the living room, you were standing in what used to be an old battleground." That morning when the Holy Spirit had said no to me, "You talk about a war." In that little space, I fought a war like you cannot believe. It lasted not just one day or 3 days, but it seemed like it was never going to end. I tried to cleanse my body of that putrid addiction. I would try so hard not to smoke, to go to church, to do my best to gain ground in the Lord. Sometimes I sat at the table where you drank coffee, and I would light my cigarette, crying out loud, listening to that voice asking me to keep myself clean unto Him. "Don't give in. You're not supposed to do that." But I would. And then the war would continue. I would run down the hallway and make a U-turn and come back. I ran up and down that hallway trying to get the victory over cigarettes. So often when I had the idea that things were looking up, I found myself coming down again. One Saturday morning, I woke up as usual, hoping and praying for the victory that had eluded me. And right about where you are standing, Pastor, in that little living room, this is where it happened. Her eyes were flashing now. I woke up that something, a feeling, a sound told me that there would never be another Saturday like this Saturday. I went to that living room where I had wrestled, blubbered, and fumbled so many times before. Right where you're standing. I knelt down to pray. It barely hit my knees when I knew that it was all over. It was all behind me. I could enjoy my victory right where you're standing in that old battered battlefield where the relics of war and memories, it is where I won the war. Can you remember the time that you won the war? The time that you were delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost, set free from whatever addiction you had, whatever bondage in the spirit, God set you free. God is in this place tonight. I don't know what your struggles are. It doesn't even matter what they are. God is here to deliver you from your bondage. He did not come to leave us as we were, but he came to set us free. Does anybody need that tonight? Anybody in this house need that delivering power of the Holy Ghost? God wants to do a miracle in your life tonight. We are not left to our own devices. God has never, ever intended us to fight this battle by ourselves. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That rest is so real. I know times in my life when I have had struggles, and the Holy Ghost would come into my life, and I would feel that peace just sweep over my soul. And I knew I was in the right place. It didn't matter what had happened before, because Jesus had touched me. He had delivered me from my fear, from my addictions, my sorrow, my pain. He'll do it for anybody. You don't have to be the right height. You don't have to be the right color. You don't have to be the right pedigree. God said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. There is such a deliverance in repentance. Some people come to the Lord and they're delivered immediately. No problems. We've had people come in here and get the Holy Ghost and walk out of here, throw their cigarettes down, and never face another temptation again from that vice. We've had other people come in here and get the Holy Ghost and struggle with cigarettes, booze, whatever the problem is. But because they kept fighting, they won the battle. You don't win by quitting. You don't win nothing by quitting. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Looking forward to the day that we build a new building. It's a struggle. It was a struggle buying this building. Guess what? We're still here. There was a young man stood up one time and testified. I don't see him here tonight. All he did was stood up and said, I'm still here. That is victory. That is victory. Because the devil hasn't rooted you out. The devil has nothing to offer. Nothing. Nothing at all. Your best day living for the devil don't even compare to your worst day living for God. There is hope in this relationship. It said for a relationship to succeed that both parties have to be willing to do whatever needs to be done to make it work. He has done everything. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to make this relationship successful? God wants to commune with us in such a mighty way. We're entering into a time of uncharted waters. We don't have any idea where we're going as far as our world is concerned. I was talking to a man today. He'd retired from Delta Airlines. And he walked me out to the van where I was getting ready to leave. And he made a comment about how crazy the world was. I said, I'll tell you what. If a man did not have hope in something eternal, he is in a sad, sad shape. He says, boy, don't you have that right. He said, I sort of thought you were a believer. You know, we all believe in something. We all believe in something. And it's sad, but some of us even, unfortunately, believe in eternal security because we get stuck in our own little way and live like we want to, and that's not God's plan. God's plan is that we continue to seek after him, pushing through all of that stuff that can pile itself over on us. Paul said that we have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. There is victory nowhere else. You cannot win any way else except through the Lord. Now, he said too, to continue steadfast, unmovable. Anybody know anything about steadfast? Steadfast is one of those things that it's sort of like a pit bull. I'm scared to death of pit bulls. But once they start something, you just about have to kill them to stop them, or so I've heard. How do I respond in the spirit in a steadfast manner? How do I do that? I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, you know, it's really sad when you look around and you see somebody missing and you realize all of a sudden you haven't seen them in 6 months. How steadfast have I been when I miss somebody that's been gone that long? God hasn't forgot them. God hasn't forgot me. He knows right where He knows where every one of us are. He knows where you want to be right now. If this is not where you want to be right now, I hate to say it, but you might as well go home. You're not going to get nothing out of it. If this is not where you want to be, worshiping God and lifting up His name, you're not going to get anything out of it. You might get a little splash over, good feeling, but until you want it, you're not going to get it. It's not going to be part of it. He continues to say, abounding in the work of the Lord. Never, never, never give up. Stay in the work of the Lord. It's the only thing that's going to stand. The test of time and the fire of eternity is the work, the time we spend in God's service. There's nothing else to do. There is nothing else to do. It don't matter what your hobbies are, what your job is. Of course, we all have to work to eat. We all have to. The scripture says that he that don't work shouldn't eat. So if you're freeloading, get a job. Sorry, that's the Bible. I didn't make it up. God intended for us to be hard at it. Not a sluggard, not lazy, but hard at it. To be on fire for him. The scripture says that he said because they were lukewarm, he would spew them out of his mouth. Now, we all like iced tea and we like hot coffee. We don't like that in between. I have to agree. I'm pouring it out. I'm going to go make another cup of coffee. That one's cold or lukewarm. God wants us to be on fire for him. He wants us to give it everything we got. Jesus asked the disciples in Matthew 16 and 9, do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Has God ever let you down? God has never, 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 never let me down. We read stories of men dying. You know what? God didn't let them down. We're all going to go the way of the grave except the rapture come. God's coming for us, whether he comes for us as individuals or as the body. He's coming for us. We're going to go one day. And if you're not ready, oh, God help you. Ouch. It's time to be serious about our walk with God. John, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Are you afraid? Are you afraid? There's no need to be afraid. There are people that have a permit to carry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They have a permit to carry because there is somewhat of an element of fear. And I'm saying yes because I have a permit to carry. I ain't carrying now. So. But people do things because of fear. People do things because of pride. People do things because of ulterior motives. People do things because they want to be noticed. So when we find out that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, what is there to be scared of? Why do I have to carry? God's going to take care of me. Do I believe that or don't I? All of us that carry, do you believe it or not? God has a plan for this church, and it is not to be afraid. It's to be bold. Anybody got a bold spirit to you? Anybody want a bold spirit? Anybody want to be able to proclaim the gospel? It's God's plan. I want to be in his plan. For those of you who have listened to the podcast Kingdom Speak, anybody raise your hand, Kingdom Speak? Anybody hear him talk about the family? Family talk. You hear that one? Jesus was talking or teaching one day and it was crowded. It was so crowded that his mother and brothers and sisters could not get into where he was. And they said, hey, Jesus, your family's outside waiting for you. And he goes, who is my family? Now, we know that he's not stupid. We know that he is trying to get them to think about what he's talking about. He knew who his family was, and they sort of look at him. He goes, these right here that are listening to me and doing my will are my family. Do you know that it is God's will for you to be victorious? It is not God's will for you to be beat down. It's God's will for you to be seeking his will. Pastor preached about when we try to bend God's will around ourselves. That's not how it works. We bend ourselves around God's will. We conform to his will, not get him to conform to us. That is where victory comes from. The victory in the Holy Ghost comes from letting him do the driving. I remember when I turned 15, I got my learner's permit. I wanted to drive. Anybody can testify to that? Remember those days? Been a long time ago. I wanted to drive. Well, my daddy didn't like to let me drive. He let my mama take me for a drive. But there comes a time when, we're going to go ahead and do that. We're going to do those things that we wanted to do growing up. But there comes a time when we have to move on. You're going to get tired of driving. Trust me. I'm not going to let my kids drive, but I get tired of driving. There's other things that you're going to get tired of doing as well. Sometimes we get tired of going to work. Anybody? You're about to retire, aren't you? God has a plan for us. It's called put your trust in him. Put everything you've got in his basket. Brother Hood preached a message here years ago, close to 30 years ago it seems like, putting all your eggs in God's basket. You cannot lose letting God carry that load. He said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. God wants us to have the victory. And the way you can have the victory is to never give up. That is God's plan. Anybody need the victory tonight? Anybody have something in your life tonight that you need the victory over? It can happen tonight. It doesn't have to wait till Sunday night. God is the same tonight as he's going to be tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday. Why wait? Why put it off? If I was to reach in my wallet right now and pull out a $100 bill, it would be a miracle because I don't have one. But I have a $1 bill, and we'll pretend it's $100. You can write the other two zeros on it all you want to. It's like this. Whoever wants his can come up here and grab it. However, that is how God works. God has got promises for you that are still in his hand because you let him. You didn't go take them from him. I don't know how else to say it. I find myself in much the same place. I've tried to start taking those things out of the hand of God. And you know what? It's wonderful. Can anybody identify with that? It is wonderful to take that blessing out of his hand and apply it to my life. I am not of the prosperity doctrine type. I think that's a bunch of junk. I do believe God wants us to prosper. I believe he wants us to be victorious. He doesn't want us to be the tail. He wants us to be the head. The scripture plainly declares that. And in the process, you got to follow his plan. You're not going to get it any other way. One of my father's favorite sayings growing up was, people are going to do whatever they want to do. We'd invite people to church. We'd invite people to dinner. They'd no-show. Can you believe somebody would no-show on dinner? That just blows my mind. Somebody going to cook for me, I'm going to be there. But he said, people are going to do what they want to do. Pastor has preached. He's preached some incredible stuff. Anybody enjoy the Holiness series he taught? That was powerful. That was good stuff. If you didn't hear it, go online and listen to it. You'll be glad you did. Living for God is not a drudgery. It's not painful. It's nowhere close to painful. To live for God is life in peace and happiness. And I know a whole world of people that are looking for peace. But they'll never have it until they know the Prince of Peace. I know that's a phrase that's used over and over again. I'm going to use it myself. God wants to give you peace. He wants to give you harmony. He doesn't want you to be afraid. It's our responsibility to never forget the battlefield. We've got new folks here that have received the Holy Ghost. We've got folks that have been baptized, people that haven't quite received the Holy Ghost yet. We've got people that are going places because they're taking God at His word. If you take God at His word, you will never, ever be disappointed. If you take me at my word, you know what? I'm probably going to let you down, not intentionally, but just because the nature of the beast is, I'm going to let people down. And I know that it happens to you too. You don't intend to, but it happens. We forget, we relate, we basically forget. But God will never forget, and He'll never leave us alone. I remember, it's been quite a while back. I think Pastor was like little bitty. And if I remember right, I think he got left at church one night, which was no big deal because they live behind the building there. God's not going to forget you and leave you to sleep under the pew. Anybody remember sleeping under the pew when you were a kid? Anybody? I see a few hands. He will never leave you asleep under the pew. He's going to pick you up and take you home. And we as parents, Bible says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does your Heavenly Father care for you? Anybody need something from the Lord tonight? I keep asking that because that is the question. And you're getting what you need from God hinges on you. It don't hinge on God. It hinges on you. I held up a $100 bill a minute ago. Well, we can play the game, can't we? I held up a $100 bill in my mind. Well, anyway, somebody wanted it. Somebody got it. Tonight, God is holding up what you need. I don't know what your need is. I have no idea what your need is. But I would believe that I am safe to say there's not a soul in here without some kind of need. Some kind of need. Your need to me may be like, that ain't nothing. Your need to me may be like, oh my goodness. But when God looks at your need, He's like, that ain't nothing. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Yes, I believe 6 24-hour days. He didn't need no more than that. He's God. He can speak it into existence. Have you got the faith enough to touch Him for your need? If you don't have the faith enough to touch Him for your need, ask somebody you believe does. Brother, I don't know if God can take care of my problem. Would you help me believe for it?
Absolutely.
And you know what? That is how it works, because the scripture says where two or three agree as touching one thing. Anybody got faith that God's going to do something in your life tonight? That is God's plan, that you act on it. Don't just sit there. I don't have to stop and give an invitation. If you have a need, it's available for you. I've seen people, though, that were very happy to be in need. They were very happy to go along with their issues. Oh, nobody cares. It doesn't matter if nobody cares. God cares. God has your answer. Your answer may be different from my answer, but my answer still comes from God. He knows what I need when I don't even know what I need. Who said that earlier? Somebody said earlier that God knows us better than we know ourselves. Did you say that? Or did I just hear that? Somebody said that. God knows what you need better than you know what you need. He knows what I need. He knows that I need another breath. He knows that if He doesn't give it to me, I'm done. I'm gone. But tonight, He wants to do something for somebody in this place tonight. I don't know who you are. Let's all stand. Jesus was teaching one day. And He had been teaching for a while, and the Bible says that He was going to try His disciples, just see what their response was. He goes, hey, why don't y'all feed them? Well, Lord, we don't have the means to feed him. He goes, well, what about, don't you remember, what do you have? will bring what you have and put it in his hand. With 5 loaves and 2 little fishes, he fed thousands. I don't know what you've got to offer God. It don't matter what it is. It don't matter how little you think it is. You take that little thing you've got and put it in God's hand, and he'll make something out of it. He'll make something out of it that exceeds your expectation. And I'm not talking necessarily monetarily. God knows the need of your family. He knows the need of your mind. Anybody need your mind touched? I'm tired of the bombardment of the devil on my mind. I leave the radio turned off because I don't even like that. God wants to deliver somebody tonight. He wants to set you free. If you want it, you can come get it. He wants to do something for you that nobody else can do. There's no counselor that can do what Jesus does. There's no drug that can do what Jesus does. He wants you to be victorious, and you can do it tonight. You can get that tonight. Let's all come pray. Pray with those around that are seeking God. God does want to do something tonight. That's how he works. Hallelujah.